Don't you know it's darkest before the dawn? And this thought keeps me moving on. If we could heed these early warnings, the time is now, quite early.
This is Tokyo Paul. This is Tokyo Progressive Choco Paul News, and I've been away for a while, as you can see. I was in the hospital for the last 8 days or so. Actually, now it's 3 or 4 days has passed since I've come out. Serious anemia, they said. The blood had been leaking out of me for a month or more, and on this, the day I was supposed to have a stomach camera exam to locate the source, I never made it up the last steps of Ichigaya Station. But fortunately, a few friends from work were nearby, and they took me by taxi. I refused to go in a hospital. I refused to go in an ambulance because there's some horror stories about ambulances. First of all, they wouldn't take me to GK anyway. They'd take me to some hellhole, probably, and I would have died there. Let me back up a little bit. 2 months ago, in response to a sudden violent pain in the chest region, I got the heart checked, and they found some narrowing in one of the coronary arteries, despite rather good blood results for almost everything, including cholesterol. They said my blood results were typical of somebody who was turning 30 rather than 50. Probably has to do with my 80% vegetarian diet. The doctor said the narrowing was not, however, the cause of the pain I was experiencing, and all the heart tests I had confirmed that. Still, I had 75% blockage in one of the coronary arteries. And the doctor thinks that it may be hereditary because my father had heart disease and a number of people on my father's side did have heart disease. In any case, I was also set to go in and have this operation to clear the arteries by catheter. They actually stick a catheter into your vein in the arm or the groin. And they have a little Roto-Rooter machine, and they would have taken care of it. I would have been out of the hospital in another day or so. As luck would have it, the pain persisted. I took lots of pain medicine in combination with the heart medicine, thinned my blood, and got me to the hospital. Now, the initial exam I had at the heart hospital cost the equivalent of $600. Without the insurance, that would have been about the equivalent of $3,000. If this is the United States, many people can't afford it. With here in Japan, you have a kind of required health insurance that one still often has to pay for, but still it's required. And in the United States, working in McDonald's, which is a mainstream job, not a student job here, as here in Japan, people would have died, because people work, most people don't have health insurance. I guess I'm getting away from the story. About the anemia that put me in the hospital. And as long as we are getting away from the story, let me tell you a little bit more what I'm thinking. I think George Bush, this is one of the things that comes to you when you're in the hospital, you think about everything. But anyway, one of the things I was thinking of is that George Bush and his fellow Nazis in the Republican Party, who are free to terrorize the world and kill 10,000 Afghanis in response to the terrorist attack on New York, killing 3,000. These people are painted as lib. I can't think straight. These people are painted by liberals as the worst affliction in the United States. But in fact, it was the so-called Clinton era. Under the Clinton era, when he promised to end welfare as we know it, that he threw many women and men off work, off of welfare, and forced them to take non-unionized jobs at salaries which could not possibly sustain them and their families, and created the worst crisis we have seen in several decades. An article in Z Magazine recently talked about Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, and the unprecedented number of people who are forced to take their meals, even though they're working, in soup kitchens and in shelters. Contrary to what many people think, those people think, well, God, I supported Nader. It put it guaranteed Gore didn't get elected, and so we deserve getting Bush, well, same thing, we deserve getting him and his fellow Nazis. But no, even under Clinton it was bad. We just pretend. The corporate mainstream media lies, and we believe these lies, so we try so desperately to believe it because we want to entertain the hope that the two-party system offers any hope. It doesn't. When I lived in Denmark, I paid no money to visit a hospital in neighboring Sweden, although the neoliberals in Europe are now doing their best to choke off the benefits that the welfare state provides there as they march on toward a brave new world where profits for the rich are ensured, even as the rest of the society goes to pot. Well, it's happening in Japan, too. And, you know, neoliberal Prime Minister Koizumi has gradually increased the burden on the working class, and I felt that in the hospital. I felt that in the hospital where nurses and doctors strive to give you the best possible care in spite of the crunch, in spite of the fact that they're vastly overworked and understaffed. That's what it's like, you know, and people would like to believe that neoliberalist reformer Koizumi is going to do something for society, give us a little pain, and then somehow rescue us. We have to remember that Koizumi is the same as the rest of the LDP and their descendants of the World War II imperialists who remain unrepentant for their racist colonialism and their deadly exploits. And just show how eager they are to pay the U.S. for its bombing, its atomic obliteration of cities in World War II. Koizumi and his cohorts are going to now, according to what I read in the newspaper in the hospital, they're going to possibly offer their military resources as the U.S. prepares to illegally attack Iraq and add thousands, if not millions, to the 5,000 monthly deaths from U.S. sanctions U.S. sanctions, which caused U.N. Undersecretary Dennis Hallady to resign. Remember, it was Madeleine Albright who was saying, "This is the price we're willing to pay to get rid of Saddam Hussein." Well, I guess I'm getting pretty far away from what I was talking about. In the version of the story that appears on the website, I then talk about the media and the media in Japan, and get off on another tangent. And that tangent is the relationship between the Japan Times and the CIA, and the connecting ligament between the two being the CSIS Pacific Forum, of which publisher Ogasawara and columnist Brad Glosserman are members of. Now, before I get back to my condition that put me in the hospital, let me play a little bit more music.
Flaming, angry town. I saw my country's flag lying torn upon the ground. I ran in and dodged among the crowd and scooped it up and scampered out to safety. And then I took this striped old piece of cloth and tried my best to wash the garbage off. But I found it had been used for wrapping lies. It smelled and stank and attracted all the flies. While I was feverishly at my task, I heard a husky voice that seemed to ask, "Do you think you could change me just a bit?" Betsy Ross did her best, but she made a few mistakes. My blue is good, the color of the sky. The stars are good for ideals, oh, so high. Seven stripes of red are strong to meet all danger. But those white stripes, they need some changing. Thank you. need also some stripes of deep, rich brown, and some of tan and black. Then all around, a border of God's gracious green would look good there. Maybe you should slant the stripes, then I'd not be so square. I woke and said, what a ridiculous story. Don't let anybody say I suggested tampering with Old Glory. But tonight it's near midnight, and in another flaming town, once again I hear this country's flag lies torn upon the ground. This story is never going to end, with everybody looking the other way. Getting lost in let's pretend, trying to make it through another day. Comes a time when we must face the reality of what's taking place.
That was John Trudell, who is a Santee Sioux Native American, dedicating the song by Pete Seeger, The Torn Flag, to American activist Leonard Peltier, who is wrongfully jailed. As you recall, do you recall, I got off on a couple of tangents, but the taxi driver taking me to the hospital had himself had heart disease and had taken nitroglycerin, and he was talking to me about his operation. He had the same catheterization I had. He knew all the medicines I had taken, the 80 milligrams of aspirin, the Iterol, the Bonatoxine, all these things that thin the blood. And it was becoming apparent that with this and the pain that I had been having that was not responding to the pain medicine I took in addition to the heart medicine, that I was suffering from anemia. A couple of days before, I had gone to the doctor for a stool test. A stool is not what you sit on, but the thing that comes out of you, and it was black like tar. And the doctor there suspected anemia, and I was scheduled to go in for the camera test that very day, but I never had a chance to go in for the regular appointment, as I collapsed on the station, as you said. I got my exam 3 hours earlier in the emergency room, and sure enough, they found I had an ulcer, self-induced. I had to stay the rest of the week and then some, and I loved it. The nurses were wonderful. The doctors, at least most of them, were also. And the women who served as combination maids, orderlies, and the patients. When you're sick, differences that might matter in a larger society vaporize. And there we were, street punk, ex-industrialist, young girl, Indonesian ex-exchange student, and more. One of these scared yet struggling to present a normal face to the world people was me. The food, I want to talk about the food. The food was good. You know what they say about hospital food. It can kill you. It sucks all over. But times have changed, or at least that GK diet was pretty good. Now here at national hospitals, it's pretty terrible. They even proudly told you how little salt you were getting. But Americans shouldn't worry, because here in the land of soy sauce, salted plums and miso, the 4 to 5 grams of salt I was getting a day is considered low. It would kill a nutritionist of a heart attack, I suppose, if they actually had to eat the food. But I suppose all is relative. In New York, muggers will kill you. In Tokyo, less than 7 to 12 grams of salt will probably prevent you from being done in. So relatively speaking, not talking about my relatives, the hospital food was kind of bland. Okay, what did I do in the hospital? I got 2 bags of blood. I didn't have to bargain for these or, you know, anything like that. They gave them to me. And the needles hurt. I got some stuff in a tinticky or an IV drip that was yellow and caused my friend to exclaim to the nurse. My friend Harry goes, hey, the urine is backing up into the bag. And I also got liquid rust, an iron supplement by IV. And the pains are actually increasing in the hospital, but it's clear from the 24-hour heart monitor that it's not the heart. Well, what happened with after that is that the IV drips that I was getting began to hurt, and they kept changing the places where they put the IV into the vein, And I noticed that on the nights when the pain from the IV drip was bad, I tended to wake up in the middle of the night, usually to pee from all the IV fluids, but also from the really weird dreams. In one, the nurse, Ichio-san, was a waitress at Starbucks, and she was outside the shop with me, and my coffee cup was on the ground filled with, of course, chocolate brownies. And then a duck came and tried to eat my brownies, so I kicked him. Not really like me, I know. I'm sorry, duck. But I did kick him, and apparently I really kicked my foot. I woke up, and there was the pain, which has generally lasted anywhere from 2 minutes to 20 or even 30 minutes. And a revelation of sorts came to me that this seemingly heightened pain was caused by sudden motion and or kicking ducks in my sleep. And I was getting a growing awareness that the pain was not really originating in the chest after all. This pain, which nitroglycerin never really did anything about, and pain medicine never really did anything about, had bothered me for some time before I had actually ended up in the hospital. And on an earlier visit to a sports doctor, coincidentally in the same place, I asked him why my muscles were underdeveloped on one side. And I suppose everyone has muscles which are underdeveloped on one side. And he said that, of course, it's because I tend to favor the strong side, and I adjust the weight to that side. And if I wanted to develop the weaker muscles, I would have to adjust the weights to be much lighter. When I was in the hospital and I had these IV things sticking in my veins, and in this particular time they were on the right side, and I decided to brush my teeth with my comb. No, wait a second. I'm skipping here. I decided to brush my teeth or comb my hair. God, brush my teeth with my comb. Brush my teeth or comb my hair with my left hand, the weaker hand. And, I noticed something. I felt a weakness in my left arm, just below the shoulder. A kind of dull ache, which gradually, as I was brushing my teeth with my comb, when I was brushing my teeth and combing my hair, or combing my teeth and brushing my hair, it would start in the upper arm and gradually spread to the chest, and I'd get this heart attack-like feeling. And it was all coming together, that the pain is someplace else. It's originating someplace else. And I spoke to my friend Wakana, whose friend is a doctor, and he was surprised no one had suggested neurology, which I always thought had to do with, like, brains and Ben Casey when I was a child, you know, brain surgeons. But okay, I did get to, during my stay in the hospital, get to see a neurologist who, the very next day, who included me in on a couple of interesting things. But before that, let me play a little bit more music. Here we go.
How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go just got up and went. When in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been. Old age is golden, so I've heard said, but sometimes I wonder as I crawl into bed, with my ears in a drawer, my teeth in a cup, my eyes on the table until I wake up. As sleep dims my vision, I say to myself, is there anything else I should put on the shelf? But donations are warring and business is vexed, I'll still stick around to see what happens next. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go just got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been. When I was younger, my slippers were red. I could kick up my heels right over my head. When I was older, my slippers were blue, but still I could dance the whole night through. Now I am older, my slippers are black. I huff to the store and I puff my way back. But never you laugh, I don't mind at all. I'd rather be huffing than not puff at all. And how do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go just got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to to grin and think of the places my get-up has been. I get up each morning and dust off my wits, open the paper and read the obits. If I'm not in there, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. And how do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go just got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go just got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been.
I was talking about how I was beginning to realize that the pain that I was feeling was neurological. Got the neurologist coming, and he found something, or it's kind of on the way now. So here I am in the hospital, finally after about the sixth or seventh day in the hospital. I get out after the ninth day. I'm beginning to find out what was causing the pain all along. So the hospital was kind of the first vacation I had had in maybe 3 years. And so it was kind of a good place to take a rest. And I actually hated to leave. It gave me time to clear my mind, observe what was going on, and envision a revolution in the way hospitals organize themselves. I've always been told I have a little bit of mania, and perhaps this was coming to the fore now that I had nothing else to do. So here's my little vision for the hospital. You know, when you're in the hospital, you are in some ways a prisoner, but in some ways you're in heaven because there's no care like this that you normally get. Here, you know, industrialists, young punks in the same wing with the same liver disease, the young, the old, the scared who suspect they're not being told everything about conditions, and others who don't want to know. Here we are as if at a hot spring resort, lounging around in our night clothes, pushing the nurse call button as if it's room service. You know, getting waited on hand and foot with nothing to do. Some of us bored and some of us rejoicing at having nothing to do. And I began to daydream about what I would do differently if I were running the place, which, relatively speaking, was pretty well run. First, I would make sure there were mandatory courses in nutrition and counseling for the nutritionists, the doctors, the nurses, most of whom seemed to be unaware of the connection between nutrients and disease. I might even have a nutrition course for the patients, too, because, you know, how many times did you hear relatives and nurses pleading with patients, eat, 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 you're not going to get well. But, you know, when you're sick, you don't always bring yourself to do, you can't always bring yourself to do what is supposed to be good for you. I also thought about the common juxtapositioning of life and death we all do in our minds, all the more easy to think about in a hospital. Hospitals and patients are focused on getting well, or at least on getting rid of the things that ail us. When we can't, because we don't know what ails us, or because what we have cannot be fixed, there's a sense of helplessness that need not be there. You know, we're alive, and sickness and death are also part of our lives, I realized. But until or unless we can make ourselves 100% certified disease-free, we feel we're less than whole. You know, an 85-year-old might be ready to die, and a 23-year-old may not be, but maybe even sometimes the reverse. Someone is dying is a problem. You know, we're all dying from the moment we're born. Some of us know how to use our lives well, and some of us don't, afraid of every bend in the road. But to place our ailments in the context of life and death without attempting to define what makes life worth living, it's quite futile. You tell a patient that unless they eat, they're not going to get well. Why do we assume they want to get well? Maybe we're like cats. You know, cats disappear when they feel sick, when they're going to die. Maybe, you know, sometimes when we're in the hospital and we're sick, we would just like to die and let the pain go away. Maybe it's sometimes more painful to fight against the illness. Maybe we should turn hospitals into schools to make making a kind of difference in how people deal with their illness, become more complete. Even if the thing inside us that is making us sick cannot be exorcised. You know, for example, I noticed a man who channeled his pain and his fear into caring for plants he had been given, watering them every time. before he brushed his own teeth. I listened to the brave stories of those who fought long and hard. I listened to the frustrations of the nurses who are forced to work long hours in institutions that are understaffed, which can often result in mistakes. And you know, when there are mistakes, newspapers say, big mistake, doctor, nurse indicted for causing death of patient. But you know, who should be indicted? It's the politicians who cut the public health budgets, and when they give the money to the military instead. That's how I felt when I was there. You know, so like, why not have classes where those of us who want to can learn how to take care of plants, gain inspiration from the nurses and doctors who fight for us, where we can listen to those who don't feel like fighting, but who may want to tell us why they don't feel like fighting. Where we can hear about the doctors who work 24-hour shifts, especially when they're young interns, and almost collapse, as a nurse told me. I think if we turned hospitals into schools, it would go a long way to helping us deal with the pains that bring us there. If the people who were able to make us laugh or make us cry, to move us with songs and stories, to inspire us with tales from their own varied lives, if hospitals were organized more like schools, it might make us all live better, fuller lives. I wonder, for example, how some of the nurses I met can give so much of themselves day in and day out and not feel empty at the end of the day, or at least how they can manage to work for more than a few years. We all need renewal. We all need empowerment. When I was in the hospital midway through my stay, I heard the distant sound of a demonstration grow louder and louder, and it was a peace demonstration led by an Okinawan folk singer. Perhaps it was Shokichi Kina, who I know was in town that week. And I talked with a nurse and an orderly at the hospital about how I was planning to be in the demonstration, and we talked about the betrayal felt by those who give care yet who are given so little assistance by their government, which, as I said before, injects more and more money into the arm of the military, increasing the burden borne by the sick and infirm, refusing to properly staff hospitals with enough practitioners. In short, being sick gave me a chance to redraw the connections between many of the things I forgot were connected, and I'll treasure that experience, feeling renewed, even though following my discharge, my continuing anemia, 5.7 to 15 will take 6 months, makes it hard to work for a sustained period without feeling tired. While I was in the hospital, Koizumi visited Yasukuni Shrine, monument to murderers, much earlier than the normal war memorial period, so as not to antagonize people. But this move on Koizumi's part, worshipping at a shrine to fascism at a less conspicuous time, was supposed to somehow lead to better relations with the countries Japan decimated. And of course, Japan also destroyed many of its own citizens in pursuit of this war. And the news media never talks about them, it ignores them, it only talks about assuaging the feelings of other people. Never quite talks about whether what Japan did was wrong or not. And here was Koizumi again trying to make them feel better. Well, reading this just made me want to throw up. And then, of course, what's going on in Israel? So I've got some links. In addition to the links about the Japan Times CIA connection, there are some links on my website, or there will be soon, about the anti-colonialist, anti-expansion movement going on in Israel and the refuseniks. I guess that brings us near the end of this program. There are a few other things on the website that I don't have time to put here, but being in the hospital made me aware of so many of the connections that when we're well, we don't have time to think about so many of the connections between so many of the ills that afflict us personally and as societies. And I hope that in some way it moves you. I hope that in some way it inspires you, and I hope you enjoy the music, which was also inspired by my extended stay. I should be getting back to normal, which I'm not quite sure is good, because sometimes not being normal is a much more fun place to be. But until the next time, this is Paul Aronson for Tokyo Progressive's Chocopole News.
That's an 80-year-old Pete Seeger in the background doing "And I'm Still Searching." Bye-bye.
I'm still searching. Yes, I'm still searching for a way we all can learn to build a world where we all can share the work, the fun, the food, the space, the joy, the pain. and no one ever, ever need or want to seek to be a millionaire.